chapter of the book of Proverbs, if you will. Proverbs chapter number 8. Now, I do not have much time at all. Because of our business meeting, but I normally know pretty much how long to do a lesson because I know what's going to be brought up in business meeting for the most part. And so I know how to gauge that a little better normally. I don't tonight because we got a lot of things that we need to go over in business meeting tonight. I'll apologize if we were doing the live stream. I apologize to those who are watching by way of live stream. Now, as you can tell by the screen, I want to tell you tonight how you can keep your foot out of your mouth. I can tell you that pretty easily. I know that up here. How to perform that sometimes eludes me personally. Now you may say, well, how can you preach on something that you struggle with yourself? I do it all the time because I struggle with a lot of things like anybody else. I have feet of clay like anybody else. But I think especially this one is true in my life. I find I struggle with my day-by-day life. Not as much as I'm getting older. Hopefully I'm learning a little bit, but I struggle with it. Let me just read my text, and I've got to be very, very quick. I'll run through these things very quickly, because we need probably about 20 or 30 minutes for our business meeting time tonight, so forgive me. But let me read my text for devotion's sake, starting in verse number 1. This is really not so much of a text as it is a springboard into my subject tonight. Solomon says, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And then he says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Now, let me go ahead and quit my scripture reading right there. Now, I know that this is a kind of an unusual way, kind of an unusual subject, an unusual way to put it. But I think, if we be honest, it is a problem that is pretty much common to all of us, at least at one time or another. Now, there's some of us maybe a little better in this regard than others. Some of us may be a little worse, but I think all of us struggle with this problem I'm talking about tonight. Now, see, that's the marvelous thing, by the way, about the book of Proverbs. If you want to learn how to worship, read Psalms. If you want to know how you ought to live, read Proverbs. See, the thing about Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And really, Solomon, I think, covers every area, every aspect of our life. And he tells us how that we might live it wisely, you know. And in our text, and especially in the last two verses of our text, he talks about our mouth and he talks about our tongue. I thought about this. Wouldn't it be great if every one of us sitting here tonight could say what Solomon said in verse number 8, when he says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing froward or perverse in them. Can you imagine what it would be like if every one of us could say that and be honest when we say that? Everything I say is in righteousness. I wish I could say that. There is nothing froward. There's nothing perverse coming out of my mouth. I think it is the book of James that says, how can we in the same mouth, you know, bless God and then curse man with the same mouth? That was the idea. I wish I could stand here and say everything that comes out of my mouth is righteousness. You know, there's nothing froward. There's nothing perverse ever comes out of my mouth. The sad fact of the matter is, folks, too many times we get ourselves in trouble by the words that we say. You know, in fact, he says in verse number 7, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness, he says, is an abomination to my lips. Wouldn't it be great if all of us could say that? You know. Now, I'm going to say this, but far too many times, I would have to say that most of my trouble that I experience in my life comes from not watching my mouth. How many of you have that? Anybody else? Am I the only one, I should say? Because I'm not watching my mouth. And it's not always so much what I say. That's part of it. But it's how I say it many times. You know, and I think preachers especially are guilty of it. Sometimes preachers tend to get so wrapped up in the moment. I know I do, and I get wrapped up in the passion of the moment, and maybe what I am saying is right, but the way that I say it may hurt somebody. Do you realize many times you can do more damage to somebody by what you say than what you do? You've heard the old adage that sticks and stones may break my bones. You know, when I was a little boy and bullies would pick on you and we'd say something like that, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Sometimes what we say can do more damage than physical harm, you know. And I realize that as preacher. Now that doesn't mean that you do not preach truth. But it does mean you should preach truth in love. It doesn't mean that you should even compromise your convictions. Certainly it doesn't mean you should compromise what you know the Scripture says. But I'm learning little by little, more and more as I get older, you can preach truth and still do a lot of damage with it. If you preach it harshly, or if you preach it in arrogantly, you know. One preacher said one time, he said, you know what, I have never regretted my speech. I mean, many times I've regretted my speech, but never my silence, if I could say that right. I think that's true. Somebody says, well, you know, and I've heard people say this, I always like to speak my mind. And they say that in a way that it's a badge of honor. You know, they're going to speak their mind. Well, listen, that's not a good thing to always speak your mind. If you're somebody that always feels like you have to speak your mind, you're a very, very foolish person. One preacher said, if your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care. To whom you speak, of whom you speak, when and how and where. Can't believe I remember that. But that's true. Be careful who you talk to. Be careful who you talk about. How you talk about them. When you talk about them. And where you talk about them. In other words, what I'm trying to say is you ought to be careful what you say and how you say it. Now, by the way, I put on the screen, and I'll have to turn around and look at it because I can't remember all these scriptures, but I want you to know the Bible actually has a lot to say about this subject, about the words that we speak. And I think it's very important. In fact, I think I only put four or five of them up there. If you look it up, there's dozens that talk about us being careful. Psalm 34:13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. I think that's pretty good advice. Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. I have always been somewhat impetuous. If there's one man in the New Testament I relate to, it's Peter. My mouth would run about two steps ahead of my brain many times. I speak before I think. Hopefully I'm getting better. That seems to be a symptom of youth. Hopefully I'm getting better as I get older and older. But many times my mouth will run about two steps ahead of my brain, and I get myself in trouble, and I wish I could just suck those words back in. You ever done that? You ever said something, said, man, many times I'm learning, weighing out, is this worth saying this to Belinda? You know, am I willing to face the consequences when I say this to Belinda? So she can tell you, many times I just learn to shut my mouth. Even if she wants to argue, I don't want to argue with her. I've learned sometimes I may regret what I say, but I won't regret my silence. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and tongue keepeth his soul from troubles, you betcha. The book of James, if any man among you seem to be religious, if anybody here seems to be spiritual, and he says, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. Now this is pretty stout. This man's religion is vain. Now, there's several others, and I just kind of cherry-picked those verses to put up there, but there's several more that's just as strong as these are that teaches us, as children of God, you got to watch your mouth. You got to watch what you say. Not just what you say, but how you say it. So tonight, I'm going to give you some things very quickly. It's already 7:30, and I've got to quit here in about 5-10 minutes. So just write them down. I'll try to give you scriptures to go along with them that will help you learn to keep your foot out of your mouth. Because I don't know how many times my mouth has got ahead of my brain and I stick a size 10 foot right in my mouth. And what I've discovered, a foot don't taste too good sometimes. So let me give you 3 or 4 principles very quickly that will help you learn to keep your foot out of your mouth. Number one, if you want to keep your foot out of mouth, I'm just giving you the headlines here, and listen quickly and write quickly. I'll give you the subpoints as we go. Don't you think this would be a good thing if you learn to speak profitable words? If you want to keep your foot out of your mouth, then concentrate on speaking words that are of profit. Now, let me give you some scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35. Write that down. Paul says, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. I thought that a very interesting verse. Do you realize many times what we say to somebody may be actually instrumental in drawing them away from the Lord? It may be a distraction in their life. So if you want to keep your foot out of mouth, speak words that are profitable. Now, what are words that are profitable? I'm glad you asked. Number one, they're profitable for serving God. In other words, the words that we speak, if we concentrate, it ought to be for the glory and the praise of God. In other words, our words should never bring a reproach to His great name. I wish I could say that never happens in my life. And I want to tell you, Christians, I think this is something unique to Christians, because really they're the only ones that can speak profitable words, or words that are of praise and glory to God, of any benefit. But how many times do we Christians, you ever get caught up in a conversation? And by the way, sometimes I've been around some Christians that handle language about like the ungodly do. Or you get caught up in a conversation, and before you know it, you're talking about things that you really should not be talking about. I found myself doing that. Belinda and I worked at an agency for 26 years with abused kids, and whenever you work in the human services field, it is a very humanistic environment that you're around all the time. And I got to tell you, those, it affected me. It affected us. But I find myself in conversations and, listen, laughing at things that I should not be laughing at. And I'm a child of God. I'm a preacher of the gospel. Have you ever had trouble with that? And I think it's far too common. Let me give you some scripture. The psalmist says that the righteous would speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. How many times have I wasted my time around unsaved people talking about foolish things when I could be talking of the glory of his kingdom and of his power? Malachi said, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. I somewhat think that one of these days we're going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what? Every idle word. Now you say, wait a minute, believers are not going to be judged for their sin. Let me tell you, you're going to be judged for what you say and what you do. Paul said this, whether it be good or whether it be bad. The judgment seat of Christ is not going to be a cakewalk. Paul said another place, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It goes like that. Speak words, folks, profitable for serving God. That's number one. Number two, speak words that would strengthen the weak. Our conversation, then, the ideal is our conversation ought to be the conversation, the kind of conversation that edifies, that builds up, that does not tear down. You know, and I could give you all kinds of scripture, but many times, folks, we say things just being what I would say being hateful. You ever meet somebody who professes to be a Christian and the meanest bearded person you ever seen in your life? Your words would be the kind that would strengthen the weak. The Bible says, "Ye that are strong, you ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please yourselves." Now, by the way, that word bear carries the idea of carrying it, carrying their burden. In other words, those that are weak in the faith, we are not ridicule them. We are not look down on them. We are not talk about them. We are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. It's not about us. He that is weak in the faith, receive ye, Paul says, but not with doubtful disputations. I've told you what that means before. Folks, those that are weak in the faith, again, and they may fall and they fall and they're continually falling. Listen, we ought to receive them. If they repent, we restore them and then hush about it. Don't say, well, I forgive you this time, but I doubt it last. Not with doubtful disputations. It goes like that throughout the scriptures of Galatians chapter 6. You that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Now, as I said before, the two things are involved in that. There is a fall, then there is forgiveness. We're good at the falling. We haven't got the forgiven part down very good yet. Consider yourself. Words that are profitable for serving God, words for they're profitable for strengthening the weak, words are profitable for saving the lost. Now, you say, I don't mean by that we have the ability to save the lost ourselves, but I want to tell you, the words that you speak to a lost person are very, very important. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen, it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm ashamed of how many times I've missed out on opportunities when I'm around a lost person. And I talk about foolish things. Do you ever, by the way, I'll just throw this in. We've got to move on. Do you ever hear somebody say when they pray, Lord, lead me to somebody to witness to today? Don't that sound good? You know what? You don't have to pray for that prayer. You're tripping over them every day of your life. You don't need the Lord to give you a special revelation to witness to somebody. You're the witness to everybody. You speak profitable. Profitable words are words that are meant for serving God, strengthening the weak, saving the lost. If you want to keep your foot out of the mouth, speak profitable words. That's number one. Number two, quickly, speak pure words. Now, I don't need to say a lot about this. That should go without saying. But listen, let me give you scripture. Psalms number 12. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Brother Lowell and I both come from West Virginia, and great preachers up in West Virginia. But I remember as a young preacher being around some of the older preachers up there, Brother Lowell. And they made me stumble a little bit in some of the language that they handled. Christian people, you ought to watch your mouth. God's words are pure words. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Our words should be pure. Somebody says Christian words ought to be scriptural. They ought to be spotless. They ought to be saintly. That's a good rule of thumb. I don't have time to give you all these scriptures, but there's one I use quite often in the book of Ephesians. If we could just keep this in mind, Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. I say this all the time. A little kindness among God's people will go a long, long way. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It goes like that. Paul said, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. He said, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is of the contrary part, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. How many of you can say that unsaved people around you could not bring a charge against you in how you talk, what you say? Your words ought to be pure if you want to keep your foot out of your mouth. Number three, speak pleasant words. I'll just give you wisdom, my mother. It's not original with her. But my mama used to say, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. Speak pleasant words. Proverbs says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Be pleasant with one another. Lastly, and I like this one, speak prepared words. You say, what do you mean by that? Think before you speak. Save you a lot of heartache. You don't have to say the first thing that comes to your mind. Now, that's Bible. Solomon says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. You ever meet somebody that has all the answers? And they have the answers even before they know what the question is. Been around folks like it. Proverbs chapter 15, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. A lot of times people will come up with me with biblical questions. And I'll say to them, let me get back to you on that. I think I may know what I should say, but I'm not certain. There's nothing wrong with saying, give me some time. The heart of the righteous studieth the answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. What's the old saying? I was once thought of as a fool until I opened my mouth and removed all doubt. Yeah. The short of it is, we better watch what we say. How we say it, let our speech be seasoned with grace. Imagine what it would be like if all of us could say, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. God, help us to speak pure words, profitable words, pleasant words as God's people. All right, we'll stand and we'll quit. I went longer than I should.